The reading for this morning is from the book of James, chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. I repeat again, the book of James, chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. What causes quarrels and what causes fights amongst you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war with you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive. Because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whosoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, He yearns zealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us. But He gives us more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and let your joy be gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother, who judges his brother, speaks evil against the law, and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not the doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such a place, to such a town, and spend a year there, and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All your boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. This is the word of God.
Amen.
It's such a rich passage. When I was trying to put it together, I thought of should I cut a part from it? Because actually what I needed was a bit of it. But I realized that it was so rich that it's enough to be a sermon in itself. So I encourage you to go back and read at home the book of James chapter 4, 1 to 17. What we'll be advising ourselves this morning is an extract from that passage, and which say, what is your life? Oftentimes as human beings, we have pursuits, we have plans, we want to do this. If you follow the reading, we want to do that. We go to a certain, we make projections. But the Bible says, what is our life? What is our life? He says, it's but a vapor that appears for a while, and after it, it's gone. If you look at this building, it's how old, Bradilla?
150 years old.
100, imagine, 150 years old. Probably the people who built this place, who worship like you and me, they are all gone. It shows that even though they have this wonderful, beautiful image in their mind, it's just for a while. No matter what we pursue, no matter what our desire is, it's for a while. Imagine you buy shoe for our ladies that love shoes. You so cherish this shoe. But after a short time, it goes out of using, it goes out of fashion. We can't be young forever. Things change all the time. What should be our priority? The book of 2 John, verse 9, it says, if any man goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. We cannot make plans in this life. I want to be this, I want to achieve that. And did not put God in that plan or in the priority of our plan. The Bible says we are nothing. The purpose of this sermon is for us to reflect on what matters the most in our life. Every day we make aspirations. We want to make we look forward to an achievement. In life, nothing lasts forever. We all is it not last year that the queen died? The queen is like the longest reigning monarch in history. 70 years of reign. She lived 96 years. But it came to an end. So our lives will come to an end one day. What will happen to us? This dream that you hold so dearly will come to an end. What should be our passion? What should be our priority? Because if I say I build a mansion, and at the end of the day, when I die, I leave it. And who do I know? The Bible says, who do you know we occupy what you are putting together? In the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, the Bible told us that the world passeth away and the lost thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Lord will abide forever. And that is the reason why even the psalmist in the book of Psalm 90, verse 12, he prayed, he said, the Lord, teach us how to number our days and apply it unto wisdom. My dear brothers and sisters, oftentimes as human beings, I want to get married, maybe as a young person, and now I have a family. Is that all that God wants for you? Or I want to achieve a degree. I want to make enough money to buy this fantastic car, or build a mansion, or buy a luxurious thing. But is that all that life is all about? The book of 1 Corinthians is a very, very lovely book. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you read verse 19, he said, if only in this life That is, I want to have children. We have children, we have a girl. It's that's a boy. When you have a school leaving certificate, I would have had a degree, then a master's degree. He said, if all of this achievement is the reason why we pray, if this is all that we have hope in Christ, the Bible says we are of all men most miserable. Imagine if you achieve all of these things, if the reasons why you come, because we pray. What do we pray for? God, protect me. Let me show up today. This interview, I want to be extraordinary. I want to succeed in this contract. I want to be successful. That is what we pray for. Bible says, if all those things were granted, if only they were the point of our success, he said, we are of all men most miserable. No wonder Jesus Christ said that. What is the profit of a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man use in exchange for his own soul? So, my dear brother, I thought it was just my own thinking, and I thought we could share it and it could inspire us. This is the reason why we have chosen our reading. As human, most of our life's pursuits, conflicts, travails, it's all about ourselves. It's all about getting. It's all about acquiring. It's all about gaining dominance or preference. But is this the will of God for us? If you read from verse 1 to 3, it talks about, he said, you ask and you receive not, because you do what? You ask amiss. You ask for your own selfish reason. Almost all the things that we pursue are for our own glory. Where is the glory of God in our life? Where is the glory of God in the things that we do? In our desire, in our personal pursuit. This is the reason why we struggle, according to that passage. So much. This is the reason why we struggle so much, and we are never satisfied. We just want more and more. If you look at the rich always want more. Even though poor wants to have what the rich have. But when you get there, you realize that the rich are even more hunger for more because of our selfish desire. And these are not in line with the will of God. The Bible says, whatsoever ye do, in words or in deed, we should do it in the name of the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. How many times do we ask ourselves, what I am doing? Or in this plan, maybe you have a plan that you have put together. How many times do we ask ourselves, that is this to the glory of the Lord? Or for myself? Do we ponder, what is the mind of God? This decision that I'm making, what is the mind of God? What does God want me to do? Sometimes we have conflict. Maybe we want to do certain things. Do we even place it that, what is the will of God in this matter? In Job chapter 14, verse 1, somebody can read this. Job 14, verse 1. If nobody sees it, he said, a man born of a woman, it is of a few days, and the days are full of evil. My brothers, my sisters. Imagine when you were young, your brown hair, beautiful and glossy. And now that you are old, you start seeing gray strands coming out. Imagine, nothing lasts forever. Nothing remains forever. The Bible told us that the days of our life are few and they are full of evil. Oftentimes, we spend our effort and knowledge, our time and resources on things that last for a short time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Somebody should read for us. Matthew 6, 19. Thank you. He said, lay not up treasures for ourselves where thieves and rust and it gets spoiled. But we should lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Imagine when all your pursuit is for you to acquire something. Where will your mind be? The day you buy your probably your first car. When you sleep at night, you want to peep at the window. Is it still there? Imagine. Because that is where your treasure is. And maybe your treasure is in your beautiful wife. And that is where you put all your investment, your time, your energies. That is where your heart will be. But my dear brothers and sisters, it's only here that we get married. Even sometimes, we don't get to. If you have a privilege, one person will go first. And the day you die, she's not going to follow you. She will leave you. The Bible says all of these things will go with using. What do we look after? Money, wealth, power, knowledge, after our family, all of these things. How far can all these things take you? How far? They don't even guarantee us happiness. Have you imagined that when we were young, we imagined that I'm going to get married? You know, that's probably the reason why one of the desires of young people, whether you're a girl or you're a boy. And when you get married, you thought that it's going to be roses. Is it true, Brother Kelvin? It's roses, but it's full of challenges. Marriage is full of challenges. You have to contend and endure and persevere and stay together. It doesn't even guarantee happiness. Happiness only is in Christ Jesus. In the book of 2 John chapter 7, 1 John 7, 2:17. Let us read. First John chapter 2:17.
The world is passing away, and the love of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever.
The world is passing away, and the love, the things that we crave, and we want, and we desire, they pass it away, but he that is in the Lord will abide forever. Let's take a look at the parable of the rich fool. We all know the parable of the rich fool. Jesus Christ, the book of Luke chapter 12, 15 to 21, you can read it at home. Jesus talked about a farmer, right? That worked with sweat. He didn't get it for free. He sweat. He worked so hard and prayed, probably. And God brought plenty increase, isn't it? And he thought within himself, because I really wonder about this passage. Maybe you've never wondered about it. Within himself, that, oh, thank God, my labor has now profited me. I didn't work in vain, and my pruning and my weeding and the rains that I prayed for brought plenty. He said, okay, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to break my barn. I'm going to put this harvest there. And I'll tell myself, you have tried. Rest and eat and drink. But what happened? The Bible told us that the Lord said, oh, fool, this night I will ask for your soul. Please, somebody should tell me, what did this man do wrong? You have worked probably today. You're very diligent. You've gone to school. You've acquired knowledge. You've gone to your job. You've done it so well. Don't you deserve to rest? We deserve it. But even at that, the Bible told us that the Lord regards this man as a fool. So, who shall those things be for? Imagine you are the one. Imagine I am the one. After working so hard, and at the end of the day. But what did this man do wrong? The Bible told us that he did not recognize God. We can do all things through Christ, not by our power, not by our strength. Maybe we should look, we should ask ourselves a few questions. What was the fault of the rich fool? Why was he a fool? He worked hard. What did he do wrong? That he would break his back? Or that he needed to rest after labor? Or are we not in his shoe right now? Maybe you told yourself, when I make my million, then I'm going to take a rest. Like Brother Paul and Sister Jenny. Don't they deserve rest? Of course they deserve it. But in everything we do, did we remember God? Did we put God in priority? What position is God in your plan? Or in your scale of priority? In your decisions? In your desires, in your expectation, what position is God? In your checklist, where do you put God? Matthew 6:19-21. How can we not be in the situation of the rich fool? By making God our priority. The book of Matthew 6:33. Told us that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, in Christ, there are plenty of blessings, but all those blessings, the Bible says, they are hard on. But the primary reason, primary pursuit should be seeking God first. Also, by having faith in God, the Bible told us that we can do all things, not by our power. It is not by the knowledge or by the excellency of your speech or by your good looks. I know that ladies get favor because of good looks. I'm a salesman. I'm a salesman all my life. You know, it's true. But, my dear brothers, it can't take you to heaven. It can't grant you peace of mind. But when you have faith in Christ, that is when you can have everything. Book of John 5:13-14. by waiting on the Lord. Let us read Isaiah chapter 40, 29 to 31.
They
that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not weary. They shall walk and not. I want you to look at these words critically. He didn't say when you trust in God, you won't make effort. He said, they will renew their strength. They will run and they will not be tired. You have the grace to do more. Are you facing challenges? You have the grace to endure further. He said they shall walk and they shall not faint. To the young ones among us, my daughter just told me, Daddy, I want to be baptized. What's interesting? A non-Christian. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He doesn't end there. Remember, we'll be talking about Mosul. The people with the biggest lands are the younger ones. I want to be this, I want to be that. The Bible says that for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My dear brother, life is full of burden, life is full of challenges. But in Christ, Jesus' yoke is easy. Say easy. Can I hear you say easy?
Easy.
Easy. In Jesus, there is ease, there is comfort. So I invite you today to come to Christ, because life is easier in Christ. Life is better in Jesus, because you have everything. In Christ, there is peace. The Bible calls it peace beyond understanding. See this man in his problems. Yes, it's comfortable. It's only in Christ that you can find it. In Christ, there is joy. In Christ, there is love. In Christ, the most important thing is the four-letter word. It is not even love, it's hope. If you are in Christ, you have hope. And when somebody has hope, he has everything. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8, he said, for bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having benefit of life that is present and life that is to come. My dear brothers and sisters, I invite you, parents, we have a lot of young people here who are not even Christian. I invite you today, come to Christ. Start the journey of your life with Jesus. It only makes it better. Because in Christ, it is what? Easy. Say it.
Easy.
The psalmist says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34 verse 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Call upon him, and he will hear you. I remember my dad in his office. There's an almanac written, Proverbs chapter, I think it's, yeah, it's Proverbs chapter 18 verse 10. He said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs to it. And he's what?
Safe.
My dear brother, in Christ, there is safety. In Christ, there is joy. In Christ, there is fulfillment. In conclusion, let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 9. Help us to make a priority in our lives in Jesus' name.